Hi there, this is Alan Tudyk. I'm Wash. And at times I will wash myself just when I get dirty. This is Hypeable Podcast. Talk about Firefly, why don't you?
Welcome to Rewatchable, episode 7. We are talking about the Firefly episode Janestown. My name is Selena. I am back at last talking about Firefly again. I'm so excited. I'm joined today by Karen, Caitlin, and Kristen. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I'm so excited. Janestown, just before we go any further, this is going to be a fun discussion, I think, because this is a fantastic episode. And I'm glad that since I wasn't able to talk about the previous ones, I was at least able to talk about this one because it's great. Before we move into the discussion for this episode, I just briefly want to remind you of the contact information for this show, because of course one of the biggest things about Rewatchable is that we want to interact with you guys. We want to hear what you have to say about the classic shows that we're watching, whether you're a newbie like Kristen or have watched them all the way through like myself, Karen, and Caitlin. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. And of course, you can visit hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. That's the website where we're all spend all of our time, all day, every day, always. And it's a general, it's an entertainment site where we discuss loads of different fandoms. We have a variety of podcasts that different of us are involved with. This podcast, of course, is dedicated to classic television, but you'll find a lot of stuff about more, I want to say contemporary, that's such a grand word, but current television shows like Game of Thrones and... Okay, guys, it's Sunday. Game of Thrones is pretty much all that's on my mind right now. No, we've, of course, speaking of Sunday, there's also Once Upon a Time, there's Vampire Diaries, there's Glee, there's just lots of great stuff, so make sure you check that out if you like podcasts. Without further ado, we should head into the discussion for Janestown, and Kristen is going to read out the synopsis of the episode for us.
Mal and the Serenity crew land in the mud-producing planet of Canton in order to pick up some contraband and discover that Jane, who has been to the planet before, is worshipped as a hero after having dropped money he had stolen from the planet's magistrate, Higgins. While there, hijinks ensue, as always, and Jane is saved by a mutter when his former partner, Stitch, tries to exact his revenge for being jettisoned with the money and left behind when Jane escaped. Jane is affected by the act and shows a bit of depth that almost seems beyond his character. In the midst of all these shenanigans, Simon and Kaylee grow a little closer, River tries to fix Book's Bible and is terrified by his crazy hair, and Inara makes a man out of the magistrate's son, thereby saving the day and getting Serenity out of landlock. Typical day in the office for this crew.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that. I can't wait to talk about the depth thing for Jane, because I think there's a lot of discussion to be had there. Before we move any further, I have one question. What is contraband?
It's like something that's not necessarily legal, but that you're... It's like another word for like haul or cargo, but it's usually something that you're not supposed to have.
Oh, so it's not like a thing? Because I always thought that contraband was like a thing, like coil. Like really thick rope.
Oh.
So this has bothered me my whole life. Thank you so much for clearing that up for me.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's usually something you're just not supposed to have.
And, wow. Yeah, okay, well, you learn something new every day. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
For the three people in our audience who might not know, like me, what contraband was, there you go.
There you go.
Yes. Wow. All right, so enough of that. Let's start talking about the episode. I've already said that this is one of my absolute favorites of the series. But what about you, Kristen? Because you were watching this for the first time.
I really enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. And looking at, like, when I saw the title and I knew that it was going to have something to do with Jane's past, I really didn't think I was going to like it at all. Because he's not my favorite. I've made no secret of that. Mm-hmm. But I really, really enjoyed this episode. It was really funny, and I loved it.
Yeah. What about you guys, Karen and Caitlin?
This is one of my favorite episodes of the series. It's written by Ben Edlund, who is one of my favorite writers on Supernatural, and he's known for his really cracky episodes. And this, of course, is such a Ben Edlund episode in that way because it's so cracky, and I love it so much. One of my favorites.
We actually had a little Ben Edlund fangirl moment right before we started the show. Which was awesome. He really is a fantastic writer. And I didn't know that this episode was written by him, but I mean, it makes total sense because it just has that quirkiness, doesn't it?
And character depth at the same time.
Yeah, like it sort of skirts the edge of being ridiculous, but it gets away with it, which is what makes it so brilliant, I think. Like very few people could pull that off.
And that's what he does in everything he writes, pretty much.
Karen, what about you?
Yeah, I really like this too, actually. I'm, you know, sort of on the fence about Jane. I'm not quite sure if I like him, not quite sure if I don't like him. It kind of just depends on the episode and the situation, but this was a really fantastic episode. It was really funny, and actually, I really liked it for all of the Simon moments, because I just thought he was really fantastic in this one.
Yeah, I want to say that's one of the things that sort of caught me by surprise rewatching it, because I sort of had it in my head since watching the show for the first time that, no, I don't really like Simon, blah, blah, blah. Seeing him in this episode, I was like, this is the best. Like, everything Simon did in this episode had me laughing so much. And I think there was a lot of great Jane stuff this week, but and River, I mean, oh my God. But more than anything else, it just made me appreciate Simon a whole lot more. And I really liked it for that reason.
This was one of the first times I really enjoyed Simon.
Yeah, me like, too.
He's been around, but he was so much fun in this episode. Mm-hmm. I really loved his character, this one.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Simon, going into the discussion for the episode, the first scene is actually Simon and Kaylee, who have a sweet little flirting moment on board the Serenity where they talk about the fact that Simon doesn't swear. Simon says there's like an appropriate time to swear. And Kaylee sort of teases him a little bit about that. What did you guys think about this scene?
I love this. You're starting to see that Simon and Kaylee are spending a little more time together outside of other like official capacities. And then it also gives you some insight into Simon and to how, you know, his upbringing is very much about what's appropriate and not. But then they just have this really comfortable teasing moment that's really sweet, and I really enjoy seeing that. And it also seems like Simon is becoming more comfortable on the ship and with at least some of the members of the crew, because, you know, like you guys were saying, you loved him in this episode. He's very sarcastic and kind of wry in this entire episode, so you just start seeing that he seems more comfortable around people and where he is on the ship, and I really enjoyed that.
I love the back and forth between the two of them here. I thought that was really great. I also thought this kind of shed more light on Kaylee as a character because it's sort of a contradiction. She's sort of complex in that she's so innocent and yet she's not entirely proper. Not like Simon is, you know, she swears and we learn more about her backstory in a couple episodes, I think. But it's just always funny that she's talking to Simon about, you know, the whole point of swearing is that it's improper, but then again, it's Kaylee, you know, she's so sweet and innocent that I always kind of found that really funny.
You guys, you know what I just realized? Karen's voice is like a lot like Kaylee's voice.
What?
Can you hear that? Is it just me? It's just when you said that thing, when you said that thing about swearing, I was like, oh my God, that's just like what Kaylee said. I was like, whoa. So there you go. I'm sorry. That just, maybe it's the accent. Maybe I'm just weird, but.
Thank you. I'll take it as a compliment.
It should be a compliment. It really should be. But wow. So I'm sorry. I just noticed that randomly. But you do make a good point. And I think, yeah, one of my favorite things about this is sort of very, very, very briefly touches on Kaylee. The fact that, yeah, she is a little bit uncouth, I suppose is the right word to say. I mean, she's funny. She's a different kind of innocent to Simon. Maybe we should say it that way, you know? They are very different people. And I think she's sort of teasing him all throughout this episode. She's kind of just trying to push them over the edge. Like, be like, stop being so proper. I'm right here, you know? It's very cute. I think. The setup of the dynamic between the two of them. So
I also love the bookends that this kind of creates with them talking swearing now at the beginning and then kind of touching on it again towards the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love what it kind of does. You see their characters in this crazy adventure thing that goes on, and then we see them again after we're kind of talking about it. And I just love the structure it kind of gives the episode. It worked really well.
Mm-hmm. So the crew goes to Canton, where both the crew and Inara have errands. Inara is off to see a client while the rest of them are going to find whatever it is that they need to find. We learn that Jane has been there before. He wears a really hilarious disguise, which is amazing. In the end, it is kind of a different team than usual that goes along. It's obviously Mal and Kaylee and Wash and Simon and Jane, which I thought was an interesting dynamic. It's not what you usually see, which I kind of liked. Did you guys pick up on that at all?
Yeah, and that Zoe stayed behind, mm-hmm. which seemed a little bit off, a little bit odd.
It did seem a little bit odd, especially because Wash didn't really have a lot to do down on the planet. But yeah. At the same time, I liked it because, it allowed for some different interactions between the characters.
Agreed.
Well, Zoe says she gets to stay behind because she outranks Wash. Because right. She doesn't want to go down to the mud planet.
Smell, yeah. Which is a fair enough reason. It's just, yeah, but I just think in terms of the story, it did allow for them to explore some different, especially the three of them that were left behind on the ship. That was hilarious. So we had a really fun scene where Simon is sort of leading the group down in Kansas, and Jane is lumbering behind in his weird suit, and Simon is trying to make the basically he's in charge of the scam to buy them time so that they have time to find the cargo that they're looking for. And this was one of the first sort of funny Simon scenes that we had in this episode, where he's clearly completely out of his depth. He has no idea what he's doing. He's all like, yeah, we'll just wander, which I thought was adorable. And it's interesting as well, just speaking about the character himself, the fact that he really cannot deceive people. You know, he doesn't think on his feet that fast, and it doesn't seem to be, you know how he was talking about being proper? Here it's the same thing. It's not in his nature to deceive people like that, at least that's what it seems like right now. And it's an interesting parallel to the beginning of the show when he was trying to sneak River on board the ship. So what do you guys think about that?
I really believed him in one of the first couple episodes when he's, you know, we don't really know who he is and we don't really trust him and we're not sure if he's the Alliance infiltrator or whatever, you know. They kind of shed that light on him, so we don't understand and we're trying to fit it together. I bought it then. Here, he has such a hard time coming up with a story and, like, trying to stammer. Like, he's standing in front of this guy and he's kind of rambling. And
mm-hmm.
It was endearing because it's nice when you see a character not able to, like, fashion a lie and put it all together. But I thought it was kind of strange that we so clearly saw him at the beginning, like, deceiving us about sneaking his sister on board, but now he has, like, no skills at all.
I think there's a difference, though, between those two moments, in that the first time when he's sneaking River onto the ship, it's life or death. You know, this is his sister. He has to get away from the Alliance. He's trying to save both of them. And there was a lot of planning involved. And here, they just sort of threw him in here at the last second, and I don't think he really had any time to sort of plan out what he needed to say and what the actual purpose of him being that owner was supposed to be. So I can see that there's a difference between those two instances.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This scene, of course, leads into what is probably one of the funniest scenes in the episode, just for the WTF factor. Especially, I think, when you watch it the first time, but even me seeing it a second time, I was absolutely floored. It's, of course, when the four of them, am I counting that right? It's Mal and, like, it's Mal and Wash and Simon and Kaylee, and then of course Jane, they come face to face with the statue of Jane, which is kind of a shame because the statue doesn't actually look that much like him. So I didn't get the joke until you saw the plaque at the bottom, which said Jane. And so they're all just standing there staring at the statue. Simon's face is the best. And I mean, all of them. Maybe I'm thinking, my thinking is that the reason that they wrote it so that these characters were the ones that went to the planet is because they're the ones that do the best WTF faces. Like, I really think they just needed Wash there in that scene and Simon to just go like, what? That was hilarious. Did you guys love this scene too?
Yes. I loved it because they each had something really snarky to say. Like, I think Mal was sort of like, no, this moment, we need to remember this. And Kaylee was like, it's eyes, follow me wherever I go.
Yes.
And Simon. I also loved, yeah, and I loved Wash's line when he's like, I think they really captured his essence. It's like, wow, like in mud, like that's great.
Simon, I think this is what going mad feels like.
Yes. Yeah, that was brilliant. We learned, of course, that when Jane was in Canton the last time, he stole a large sum of money from the magistrate, but he dropped the money during his escape. And so the people of Canton now think that he's some kind of hero, and they celebrate him because he's like this Robin Hood type figure and build a statue in his name. I mean, this is just... this is a great little bit of backstory about Jane. And I think whenever they're in the bar and they hear that song too, the man they call Jane, it's just, it doesn't get better than this. It's kind of like the writers were just saying, what's the craziest way that we can tell this character's backstory and just make it such an epic fail and have a song about it? I mean, it's just, there's nothing that's wrong about this story. And how catching is that song?
Been singing since I watched the episode.
It's absolutely fantastic. What did you think about that, Kristen? Did you see this coming at all?
Well, I mean, seeing the episode title, like the title of the episode, and loving like the statue moment right before it, I kind of wondered if something was going to happen, but a song written in his honor was not exactly what I was expecting.
No.
It's hilarious, though. I love that whole scene. And the look on Mal's face is just, like, priceless. Like, he just cannot believe what is happening in front of him. Like, oh, my God. So I loved it.
Well, what about this whole backstory, then, for Jane? The fact that he was kind of this, I don't even want to say reluctant hero. I want to say, like, completely accidental hero. Like, that I remember when I watched that for the first time, I was just like, what is happening? That is not the kind of story that I thought they would tell with him, you know?
Yeah, he has, like, no idea why. Like, he cannot put it together. Mm-hmm. And then when it finally all starts to make sense for him, he just kind of embraces it fully. Like, I'm a hero. Of course I am. Like,
actually, what I thought sort of found interesting was that, yeah, he does embrace it. But at first, he seems really angry and almost embarrassed that they are celebrating him. You know what I mean? Like, he does have a little bit of a reluctance about appearing to be this hero, but then of course he does embrace it fully and just letting them celebrate him. But I thought that first bit was interesting because I think it speaks a little bit to him. He's like, I don't want to be a hero. I don't want to be Mal. There's that kind of natural instinct to fight against it, you know?
That, and I think he's just still really pissed off that, you know, he dropped all of his money.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. He's an interesting character.
I think it shows a level of self-awareness about himself that he's like, I'm not this kind of person, and I don't want the expectations that go with being this kind of person. I could never live up to them, so don't do it.
Yeah, you're right. On board the Serenity, there's a scene with River and Shepherd Book, which was sort of, it was really philosophical and it was very interesting. She's trying to fix his Bible, saying it's broken. Book, it doesn't make sense. Book replies, it's not about making sense, it's about believing in something and letting that belief be real enough to change your life. It's about faith. You don't fix faith River, it fixes you. But even after that, River continues to try to fix his book for him, basically. And personally, I think this is a sort of maybe a bit too heavy-handed, but it's definitely a sort of a science versus faith kind of thing, where River is very much, I mean, it's not that she exists in a world of science, because she is kind of intuitive in a different kind of way, but her world makes sense. You know, she's like the maths to his English or philosophy, or you know what I mean? Like, it's two worlds colliding and they're trying to make sense of each other. And I like the dynamic between them, especially in this scene.
I think it also functions as a parallel to what's going on in Canton with Jane, in that, you know, he is this, his legend has become almost a religion for these people, and they need it to believe in. So they're, Jane accidentally has given them something to have faith in, and that's what kind of helps them overcome this really bad lot they had in life.
That's actually, you know what? I hadn't even thought of that, but that's just right there in front of you. That's true. Wow. But yeah, no. So there was clearly, that's why the scene was in the episode then, I guess. But I still think the two characters juxtaposed like that, it says more than just what these two characters are about. I think it's two ways of looking at the world that are coming together and clashing in this way, which is always interesting to see on television shows.
Yeah, like, it took me off guard. I didn't see this moment coming, like, the first time we see them. Like, I didn't expect anything quite that deep to come mm-hmm. in the middle of this, you know, crazy story about Jane. And it just surprised me. It totally makes sense after what Caitlin just said and, like, putting it together. But I did not put that together in the episode.
Me neither.
Like, it totally... Yeah, like, it totally makes sense now, and it all works together, but I did not put that together. And, yeah, but it does kind of explain things. It gives you a little something to think about. It just seemed really, really deep for an episode that otherwise just seems like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also liked it because I think it's really the first instance that we see River not understanding something. I mean, she's obviously very intelligent, but like you were saying, Selena, she's got this really analytical, scientific mind, and she doesn't understand the purpose of faith. And I think it was really cool just to see Shepherd Book trying to explain that to her.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think so as well. Moving on to a different part of the episode, which was Inara's storyline, meeting the magistrate and then being introduced to his son, who he's hired her basically to make a man. You know, I'm thinking Mulan here. And there's a note in the doc that's actually a really good question, which is, considering how great Firefly is at weaving in storylines and making it all make sense, is it a bit too much of a happy coincidence that Inara has this setup date with Higgins' son at the same time as the Serenity crew are picking up the cargo and end up needing a favor? I mean, do we buy it? Do we think, oh, that's just another piece of storytelling? Or does it sort of stand out as being a little bit unrealistic? I say unrealistic in a space cowboy movie TV show.
It never really stood out to me as far as, like, a glaringly obvious thing, like, okay, this is just a little too far-fetched, but I can definitely see where it is sort of convenient storytelling. But, you know, honestly, sometimes you need things like that, and as long as it really doesn't detract away from the story, I think it's okay to have once in a while.
I think it makes sense because there's so much in this episode that's dealing with what it means to be a man. So there's the becoming a man because you've had sex with a woman. And then there's the being a man as to, like, standing up in the village, or the thing that, or the face that they put on Jane versus who Jane actually is. So it's just another way to parallel the stories. And I just see it as the being a man story.
Uh-huh. And Inara is so brilliant because she has some really great lines, and she has one line that she said was whenever she's about to go to bed with what's his face, she says, you know, this doesn't make you a man, you do that yourself. And I think it's moments like this that make Inara so likable. Beside the fact, you know, despite the fact of what she is and what she does, I don't think it's possible to really dislike her because she's such a good person. And again, we were talking about the contradiction of Kaylee's character, where she's both really innocent and really raw in a way at the same time, whereas we have Inara, who's almost the opposite of Kaylee in every way, because she has that promiscuous quality built into her, and at the same time, she's innocent and pure and good all the way through. And it came out a lot in this episode, I thought.
I loved Inara in this episode. She's so wise. She just... sometimes I feel like she just knows everything. She knows exactly what she should say, how to... I don't want to say manipulate people, because she isn't... It isn't vindictive, but mm-hmm. she knows what to say to tell people the things that they need to hear. You know what I mean? And I really like the way that she sort of handles herself. She never really gets angry or puts a foot out of place. Like when that guy's father came in and was like, you know, my son, he's 25 or whatever, and he's still a virgin. This isn't right. And she just said, well, you can't be here right now. And she kind of like gently pushes him out the door.
That was great.
Where she could have said, you need to get out right now, but she doesn't. She just knows how to handle herself.
Mm-hmm. And you know what was so great about that scene too is that it put the son at ease, because she kind of put his father down without doing it in a way that would make his father go, oh well, you have to leave, you know. It was almost a demasculizing moment for his dad. And I think he needed that at that moment. And I thought that that scene was really well done, because even though we have no idea who these people are, we've never met them before, that came out so clearly. And it was all her doing, too.
It's funny, because like you were saying, we don't know who any of these people are, but that guy's son, I felt for him so much. Like, I felt bad that his father was being so rude to him, and that you could tell how self-conscious he was and how he didn't have the confidence he should have. And then at the end, when he sort of gets the victory over his father, you feel so happy for mm-hmm. him. And this is a character that we don't know anything about. This is the first time we're meeting him, and he really wasn't in even a majority of the episode. And I think that's just great storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So back in the bar, the people, they've gotten quite drunk at this point off of the mud milk or whatever the hell they were drinking. And we had a sweet little Simon Kaylee moment when she says something like, you're pretty, whatever. And he goes, you're pretty, pretty. And Mal begins to interrupt them, but Kaylee sort of talks him into letting her stay and, you know, seeing what's going to happen. And I thought this was a really cute scene, but I was wondering what you guys think about Kaylee sort of trying to use this moment with Simon right now to make her move. Because I know Kristen, you were thinking that she was trying to make her move while he's too drunk to remember, whereas I think that maybe at this point Kaylee thinks, he hasn't made a move on me yet. Maybe if I get him drunk, he'll get the confidence to finally do something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. At first I had trouble deciding whether they were both a little drunk, because Kaylee was kind of acting silly, but she gets her head together very quickly. So I kind of, you know, drifted away from that. I was like, okay, well, she's obviously in control, but Simon mm-hmm. is so clearly not. And she's definitely taking advantage of the opportunity, whether it's because she is too unsure of it to kind of make her move, or whether it's because she's not sure he ever will. She's definitely taking advantage, though. And I just thought it was a really adorable scene, because Simon has let down all of his, like, barriers that he seems to hold up. And uh-huh. it worked really well for the two of them to kind of have a moment.
Mm-hmm.
This scene makes me melt. Just, I love the two of them. I ship them Aww. So hard.
Yeah.
And I think she's just... I mean, for one thing, I get the impression that she can probably hold her alcohol better than Simon can.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But that she's just taking the opportunity while his inhibitions are pretty much out the window to find out what he really thinks. Because mm-hmm. he's, like she says later on, he's, you know, hot and then he's cold. She can't get a read on him, even though she really likes him. So she's trying to figure out what he actually thinks, and when his walls are lowered, she can find out.
Yeah, although nothing, as we learned, you know, when they wake up, nothing actually happened. You know, Mal walks in the morning and finds her sleeping on top of him, and he sort of jumps up and he's like, nothing happened, nothing happened, I never, with Kaylee. And I mean, was he saying this because Mal was standing in front of him and Mal is basically like this older brother slash father figure? Or is he just so embarrassed by the fact that he could actually be having feelings for her? Or does he maybe not have feelings for her? What do you think, Kristen?
I think he has feelings for her. I think he was terrified by the fact he's just started to find his role and fit in here. And now he's been discovered in this compromising situation, and by Mal, nonetheless.
Right.
And he's just so freaked out that it's, I would never do this. What are you talking about? Like, he just cannot figure out how to get his way out of it. Like, oh my God, I have to I have to get out of here. I think he absolutely has feelings for Kaylee. He just is so worried about, you know, like ruffling feathers or getting on anybody's bad side, especially Mal's, that I think he was just worried about that more than anything.
And I think it's tough for Simon, and I think that's what makes this potential maybe love story a bit more mellow and a bit more slow than maybe it would have been like in other shows or under different circumstances, because Simon always has to look out for River first. Like, he has this whole thing maybe starting up with Kaylee, but at the same time, there's always something that feels more important to him because he feels so responsible. And I think that's one of the things that's coming out here, where Mal finds him and Kaylee sleeping there together, and he's like, oh my God, this is not me. I'm supposed to be proper. I'm supposed to be responsible. All of those things, that's probably raging a war within him, you know?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I also think there's a measure of, in the pilot, when Kaylee got shot, you know, I think it was Inara says to him, you know, she's precious to us.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone is very protective of Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Simon's place is still so unsure on the ship that he does not want to rock the boat, especially with someone that the big scary guys like Mal are going to be so protective of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the following scene was one of the absolute best in this episode, rivaling the one where they're looking at the statue. It's the one where River sees Shepherd's Book's hair, and she runs away screaming, and she goes to hide, and then obviously Zoe is called down to sort of help get her out of her hiding place. Zoe says, "You know what? I'd hide in there with her too for this hair that you have." And I'm not going to say the line that River says, because I'm pretty sure someone's picked this as their favorite quote. But all of this, like the idea, like who got the, how do you think this happened? They were sitting in the writer's room brainstorming stories and they went, what if we have River be really scared of Book's hair? Like, it's just one of those mysteries that I will never understand, but it was brilliant.
Ben Edlund.
Well,
yeah,
I can totally see how it happens, because my God, like, his hair was sticking up all over the place, and like, she's probably never seen anything like that, and it just freaked her out, but it was totally adorable, and it just makes you love River even more.
Exactly. Like, River is another character that I sort of have had a problem, you know, to borrow a phrase from Kaylee, you know, getting a read on. I've had a problem understanding her, obviously, as you're supposed to, and I don't know how I feel about her, but in this scene, I mean, I was just like, oh my God, River, you're so precious, like, I just want to take you home. So when the magistrate finds out that Jane is back in town, he unleashes Jane's partner from prison, who has been stuck in a box for, what was it, 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap. That's way to take the episode in a totally different direction.
Right? Like, what a creepy little, like, jail cell
thing. I know!
Yeah.
That just surprised me. I had no idea what we were, where we were going when they start walking down this gangplank towards all these little things. At first, I thought that it was maybe like a sleeping area or something. Like, you rent one of these for the night if you're visiting Mud, which, you know, or visiting Canton. It should just be called Mud. but if you're, like, visiting there,
I
want to
visit some
there,
mud today.
Yeah, like it just seemed so random, and then they unlock it and you find out he's a prisoner, and I'm like, wow, what a terrible place to get caught doing anything. Like, that would be the worst.
I mean, 4 years in a little box. I mean, I can't even. This is funny because it's not funny, but this episode is so lighthearted and it's so fun and it's so sort of affirming your faith in humanity almost. And then you get something like this. And I finally watched Les Miserables last night after like 5 months of it not being out in cinemas here. And that was what it reminded me of right there. I was like, oh my God, this is as depressing as that. Like, this was terrible. And I know I'm not supposed to think this much about this tiny little detail, but I was just like, it reminded me that Firefly is really rough. Like, Firefly would have done really well on like Showtime or HBO, because they could have gone so much further with stuff like this. And there is always that underlying darkness of this world that's kind of pretty terrifying.
Oh man, now I'm just picturing like an HBO version of this show. Like, oh my lord.
I know. Well, that would be like Deadwood, wouldn't it? But in space.
Yeah. Like, they take everything just a little further, like one step further than we've gotten on here. Like, oh, that would be insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a few different things happen. Wash and Zoe pick up everybody, but Jane stays to celebrate with the town because they figure that's a good distraction while they go pick up whatever it is they need to pick up. Higgins' son has a hilarious scene with Inara when he tells her about the folk hero, and there's this really hilarious moment when he's describing this hero and she thinks it's Mal because, you know, he arrived yesterday, he's the heroic type, and she says, oh yeah, you know, he just has this idiotic sense of nobility, he thinks he's this hard-hearted criminal, he can be unrelenting, but there's a side to him that's just so... And then he's like, yeah, you know Jane? And she's like, Jane? What? I love that. I mean, first of all, because it's so funny and it allows her a chance to have that WTF face as well, because nobody saw that Jane thing coming. But it's also just another little reminder that Inara and Mal's feelings for each other are still there, even though she goes and makes random guys into men all over the place.
Yeah, I loved that we got just a little reminder of, you know, Inara's first instinct when anyone starts describing anything like this, like mm-hmm. a folk hero, her first instinct is to go to Mal. Yeah. Like, of course it's Mal. Who else would it be?
But in this case, who else would it be? Because it wouldn't be Jane. So
oh, for real. Like, the last person you would think would be yeah. Jane. Like, but it was so nice to kind of see her. You can see it in her eyes. She's clearly thinking, oh, of course it's Mal. And then the guy says it and it's just like, wait, what?
Right.
Like, it's such a great little moment for her. I loved it.
Right. In the bar, Jane's the former partner guy that had been locked in a box, he finds Simon, who is still in the bar trying to have breakfast. He beats him up pretty badly, and then he takes him as a sort of hostage to where the townspeople are chanting about Jane. And it's funny because when this happened, I figured, and we kind of got this, but it wasn't as big of a moment as I thought it was going to be, which... Because we know there's been such animosity between Jane and Simon, I thought it was going to be a case of him going, I'll kill your friend, and then Jane would be like, kill him, whatever, I don't care. And we'd have like a big sort of moment where they had to save him and we'd, you know, hate Jane, or Jane maybe would save him and we turn out to be like a really good guy. That didn't happen, whatever. What did end up happening was that... Jane had a speech which, while not very eloquent, was kind of interesting because, again, he's more moved by the situation than he lets on. You know, he sees, you know, he says, the way I see it, you people have been given the short end of the stick, but you took that end and you, well, you took it. And that's, well, I guess that's something. And I think as far as Jane goes, this is pretty much what we're going to get of him. And I kind of like that. Like, he's never going to turn around and be like, da-da-da-da, the hero type, but he can do this. He can stop and reflect, and he can do the best with whatever little skill that he has in that empathy department. And he can actually feel the plight of these people. And I think at this point in the episode, he was already understanding that they needed something to hold on to, at least beginning to. But then, of course, Stitch comes in, and he... first he threatens Simon, then he wants to kill Mal, and then he reveals Jane's secret to everybody that Jane did in fact intend to steal it. He never intended for the villagers to get that money. He tries to shoot Jane too, but again, in an echo of Les Miserables, this is just crazy, a mutter jumps up and gets in the way. The young guy that we've kind of been seeing throughout the episode, you kind of knew he was going to be a red shirt, but it was still kind of a shame. He takes the bullet for Jane, and Jane kills Stitch. But, I mean, he sort of... It's a very bittersweet moment, because I think that, obviously, it's really sad, and Jane has this breakdown. I mean, he pushes down the statue. He's basically saying, look, I don't want you. I'm not a hero. Don't treat me like a hero. But he's still beginning to make a bit of a... I guess what I'm trying to say, this long spiel that I'm going on, is that Jane is not the heroic type, but I think that this episode really does a lot to develop him as a character and to remind him that not to just always be selfish all the time. Is that about right, do you guys think?
Yeah, and I think it takes a lot to affect Jane. Like, we've seen him go through a lot of different crazy adventures already, and nothing ever seems to really get him. He always just kind of finds his own way, like, whatever he needs. If he needs to get out, he gets out. If he needs, you know, to, you know, jump in and save the day, he does. But nothing ever really seems to affect him. And in this episode, you see their hero worship of him and everything just kind of, you see it touch him. And it's just really, really beautiful, because he's not the kind of character that's going to be touched all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And here you get this beautiful moment where, you know, this guy from this planet that he's visited once and stole from jumps up to save him and, you know, gives up his life in the process. And you just see that it kind of clicks in Jane's head, like, wow, like, it's not just all fun and games. Like, they don't just, you know, love me, they're not just singing about me, but this guy just saved my life.
Yeah.
And gave up his own. Like, it's just a very intense thing that you wouldn't think Jane would have. You wouldn't think he'd get that moment, but he did, and he didn't let it pass. Like, he really had an emotional reaction to the whole thing.
And there was a certain level of stubbornness to the way that he reacted to it all, because he's sort of saying, when he's breaking down the statue, he's like shouting at the people. He's saying, you guys are idiots. The fact that you think that there are heroes out there who would do something like this to you, the fact that you think that I am worth dying for, you're idiots. There are no heroes. There's just people like me. And it's a sort of, it's a refusal to accept that there could possibly be any good in him. And I think that stubbornness comes from the fact that, as someone said earlier, he knows that he can't live up to the expectations that would be placed on him. It's easier to be this way. It's easier to not have anyone expect anything of him. And he hates the fact that he enjoyed being the hero. He enjoyed the fact that people celebrated him. And I think this, first of all, is why Jane is such a complex character who's hard to understand, but it's also why a lot of people like him, and why I think someone like Mal would allow him to travel with them on the Serenity, because Jane is not a good guy, but he's not an unequivocally bad guy either. Like, I don't want to say he's not a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's really tough to put your finger on. But I feel like a character like Jane, if you put them in a show like Game of Thrones, or even The Vampire Diaries, where their morals are all over the place, like, he would fit right in. And I feel like he would have those moments when he actually did a nice thing, and then he'd be like, oh, damn it, I just did a nice thing again.
He kind of strikes me as a bit of, going on the Vampire Diaries angle, a Damon character.
Yeah.
He's not as witty and sharp as Damon is, but he kind of fills that role where he's not a good guy. He is always looking out for himself, but along the way, there are people he cares about, and he's going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he kind of does. He fits perfectly into that little role that, you know, every show needs. You need somebody like that you're surprised by how good they really are.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, we're going to see how this develops over the last couple of episodes in the movie. But I definitely think if the show had been allowed to continue further, that's one of the things that we would have seen, would have been a progression of Jane's character to a level where he did become a hero, if a reluctant one. You know what I mean?
I think in a sense that this episode kind of parallels the train job, in that episode was Mal and Zoe recognizing the needs of the people over the crime. And then in this episode, Jane does the same thing. He recognizes, you know, the struggles of the people and then kind of acts accordingly. Obviously, the actions are different, where Mal and Zoe return the medicine and Jane continues with the crime, but he is trying to dispel this myth. So in a way, they're kind of recognizing the, I guess, the perils and the struggles of other people and kind of having to react to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's faced with it. He can't ignore it, and he's so personally, like, he's not just someone who witnesses it. He's so wrapped up in it. And when that guy takes a bullet for him, like, no one would ever take a bullet for Jane. I think that's what, you know, that's the kind of the wake-up moment for him, is he's positioned himself in a place in his life where nobody would actually give their life for Jane, and he knows that he's not worth that. And I think that's really, it's really deep, and it's really a hard moment, and I love that they didn't just let that go. I mean, he's still in that final scene that he shares with Mal, he's still really affected by it, and Mal has some interesting things to say, though, because when he says, it's not about you, it's about what they need. And that's, I think that's a very foreign concept to Jane, because Jane's world revolves around Jane. And I like that this had a consequences, and I'm curious to see whether this is going to have any lasting consequences of its character, or if it was just a sort of one-off kind of thing.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't know what happens as the newbie, I wondered if this was kind of foreshadowing something, or, you know, whether they were kind of leading us to think, okay, well, Jane sees, you know, what it's like to have such faith and such dedication to something that you're willing to, you know, give your life to save someone else. Like, I kind of wondered if this might show up again later. I don't know, but it just kind of felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't remember, so I couldn't say, and I don't think we should say, because that's like a spoiler, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to do a Jane watch, Kristen, so that we keep track of it. In one of the final scenes of the episode, they all go back to the ship. There's a brief moment where Wash discovers that they've been landlocked by the magistrate, but then it's released. All of a sudden, while Inara stands there watching, and she has a little smile, and we learn that she actually convinced Higgins' son to free Serenity as, you know, being a man and all of that. And it's just, it's a nice little, tie-in. And, I mean, if she hadn't been there to do that, this would have been like a three-episode arc is what I'm trying to say, because they would have been stuck on that mud planet forever. So so lucky that. And kind of a I liked it too, because I liked that her storyline tied in so closely to theirs, and that her interaction with that guy wasn't just a throwaway thing. It actually had a consequence. So I guess in that way, I can excuse it for being a little bit convenient, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I excuse its convenience, is because it does bring Inara back into the story. Like, it gives her, she's not just, you know, off doing her own thing. It all kind of ties together, and she is the reason they're able to get away. And if it wasn't for her, they'd be screwed. So, yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me sad that Inara didn't tell Mal about what she did. I mean, not that she would, because she wouldn't go around bragging like that. That's just not part of her character. But I think he might be a little more appreciative of what her status brings the crew as a whole, you know, a little bit more than he is.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Wrapping up the episode, Kaylee and Simon have a final scene together where they talk about Simon's need to be polite and proper with her, bookending the episode like we were talking about earlier. He's saying that basically out here in space where there are no rules, him being proper it's his way of respecting her, and it's his way of saying that he likes her. They have this like nice little acknowledging moment when they acknowledge the fact that they like each other. And I thought this was really nice. It did make me think of one thing, though, and I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on it, because obviously in Firefly, we have different character dynamics, mostly as a group, which is, I think, is what separates it from a lot of other TV shows, where they focus a lot on establishing pairs. Here, it's more group dynamics. But one, they do have pairs that interact with each other, though. But one, I keep saying pair, and the more I say it, the more it sounds like the fruit. So that's just throwing me off. I'm like, there's a lot of pears on Serenity. They smuggle them. But what I'm trying to say is that River and Kaylee are probably the two characters that interact the least. And I always thought that was kind of awkward, because Kaylee seems like the person who is the least interested in River. And being so interested in Simon, that's got to be awkward in a way, especially for Simon, because he likes both of these girls, but these girls do not overlap. It's not like, say, Zoe and River, who did have that bonding scene in this episode.
Yeah, it's too bad, too, because I think Kaylee's personality, and she's sort of motherly, you know? She likes to take care of people. She likes to make sure everybody's happy and okay. And I think if given the chance, she would have bonded with River a little bit more. But I definitely understand that it is kind of strange that they don't talk more.
Mm. Yeah, I think I just something that I thought about, because... And you would think that Kaylee would think, oh, well, maybe the key to his heart is to befriend his crazy sister, but who knows, you know, apparently not. But, I mean, do we like the pace that the Kaylee-Simon relationship is going at this point? Were we hoping for a kiss? Were we thinking it's ever going to happen at this point, or what?
I loved that they didn't take it too far. Like, we got a lot of progression in this episode, and we saw them take some steps that, you know, I didn't necessarily think they'd ever really take. And, you know, I love it. I'm fine with the speed they're going. We'll see how far it gets, but I thought it was adorable.
I think it's going at a good pace, too. They kind of, like you were saying earlier, Selena, that, you know, Simon, his first and foremost concern is River, and he can't afford, or he doesn't think he can afford to detract from that all that much. Mm-hmm. So he needs to go slowly if anything is going to happen. And Kaylee is respecting that, which is promising.
Yeah. Let's move into our favorite quotes then. All right. So Karen, do you want to kick us off?
I mean, Simon was so great in this episode, but this line really stuck out to me as my favorite line was when Jane went into the infirmary and he was taping the gun to his waist. And Simon sees the destruction that Jane made looking for the tape, and he's just like, you're a trained ape without the training. And it was so funny in his face. He's just completely appalled by Jane.
That was awesome. What about you, Caitlin?
I love when they first see the statue and they're all having their WTF moments, and Wash says, I think they captured him, though, you know? Captured his essence. And Kaylee's like, looks sort of angry, don't he? And Wash is like, that's kind of what I meant.
Uh-huh. That was awesome. Kristen?
I almost totally took the one Caitlin has. I'm so glad I didn't. My favorite was the little moment between Zoe and River. Zoe says, River, honey, he's putting the hair away now. And River says, doesn't matter. It'll still be there. Waiting.
I know, that was the best.
I just love that you don't even see River. You just hear her voice coming out of this cubby. Like, he'll still be there. And it's just so, so precious. It just reminds you of how much of a kid she kind of is. And it's just adorable.
The delivery of that was so good as well, because it was just so matter of fact. Like, she played it so straight, too. It's like, it'll still be there. Waiting. It's just... It had a great, oh my god, that moment with the hair. I can't even get over how brilliant that was. Mine was from towards the beginning of the episode when Kaylee and Inara are speaking about the fact that Inara has a new client, and she's sort of, Kaylee, we should send her on her way. She's like, bye, have good sex. And it's just, it's the best, because, I mean, it's so cute.
Simon's face. Loved the way.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I also
yes.
love the look on Simon's face.
Yes. Like Simon's face, first of all, because he's just like so scandalized. And it's a nice little way of reminding the audience too about what it is exactly that she does. And Inara, what she does. And the fact that she's not embarrassed by it. Like that's just a part of a companion's life and it's respected. And also there's the Kaylee thing that Kaylee will just be like, have good sex, la la la. Like I think it was brilliant. I also have one which is actually, it was a Natalie Fisher who people might know from Glee Chat and Who Hype that she posted on Twitter this line to me and I had to quote it because it's brilliant. This is when they see the statue or no, it's when they hear the song, I think, and Wash goes, we gotta go to the crappy town where I'm a hero.
Yes.
It was a great line too. And to get one of the times when Wash has a chance to shine. I'm still not seeing enough from Wash. I wish there was more of him, but this was good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I really, really wish we had more Wash, but
right.
It's okay.
So moving on to our favorite scenes, I have to say that scene was probably my favorite scene. I mean, there was the hair and there was the statue, but I think the one with the song was the best for me because of the song. And because of the energy there was amongst the extras as well, when they're just like so excited about this man they call Jane, and the Serenity crew are just like, what is happening right now? Is this real life? This is super weird. And it was the best. I loved it.
It's almost like they do know they're talking about Jane, right?
Exactly.
Like, it was they all look at each other like, these people are crazy.
Like, that was, I think that's what made this episode work so well. It's like, I mean, obviously, after 7 episodes, we know who Jane is. We know that it's very weird that they are celebrating him in this way. But I think the crew of the Serenity, they know it even better. Like, they see these people celebrating Jane at every single one of them. I mean, even the ones that aren't really involved with it, like both Zoe and Inara have those like, Jane, like, really? And Zoe too, when she comes, she sees him and she's like, oh, is it really Jane? Can it be true? And it's just so brilliant the way that they poke fun of him. Karen, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the one between Kaylee and Simon at the end. I mean, it's so hard to choose because there was a lot of really brilliant scenes in this episode, but the scene at the end, I just felt this huge relief that they finally both got their feelings out in the air, and it was just so nice to see them take those extra few steps, and we're getting a little bit farther with their relationship, but it's not being rushed, and it was just really nice.
Mm-hmm. And Caitlin?
I really like after their drunken night at the bar when Kaylee wakes up on top of Simon when Mal walks in, and there's just this brief moment where they're both like, oh yeah, this is really nice, and then they both go, oh god, and Simon just immediately sticks his foot in his mouth, and Kaylee's just like, you know, you can stay here, have breakfast like a civilized person would. So just immediately, like, there's really sweet moment, and then Simon, open mouth, insert foot. I'm just, oh, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. Kristen, you can go.
For me, it was definitely a toss-up. I love the statue scene and all of them getting this glimpse of Jane the hero right in front of them. But I had to go with the drunk Simon scene because it's just so sweet to see him like with his barriers down and just telling Kaylee, you're pretty, pretty. And it just, oh, it's just so cute. I love it.
Absolutely. That was fantastic. Lots of Simon love this week. That's really great. You guys must be happy, Caitlin, Kristen. Okay, no, I'm sorry, Karen. Too many kiss here.
Yeah, I'm sure Tarek's really upset he couldn't be on this week.
Yeah.
I love the Simon and the Simon Kaylee love, because that's my ship for the show. So
is that your favorite ship from the show?
From the show, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm still kind of bitter about Kaylee and Jane, I gotta say, but all right then. I guess it's not happening. There's still time. There's still time. But no, I really enjoy Zoe Wash, actually. I think that might be my favorite because it's such an unlikely pairing and it's really adorable. How about you, Kristen? Which pairing are you liking the best at this point?
I'm loving the very slow burn between the Mal and Inara stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really think they're adorable, and I wasn't on for the Armis Reynolds stuff, but I watched the episode and the whole exchange with them at the end of that, where, you know, he's like, "I knew you let her kiss you."
Yeah.
And like, he just doesn't see it. He doesn't think about it. And I love that sort of stuff. It always gets me.
Mm-hmm. That is really, I really do enjoy the two of them as well.
Yeah.
And moving on to feedback, we've got one email from Hannah. Karen, do you want to read that one out?
Sure. Hannah says, "So far, the episodes don't usually have a message in the beginning that gets repeated in the end, except this one, unless I really wasn't looking that hard. Book talks about faith at the beginning. It's not about making sense. It's about believing in something and letting that belief be real enough to change your life. It's about faith. Then, at the end, the boy throws himself in front of Jane, even though the story from Stitch's side has been said. Why? He believed in Jane, had faith in the ideas Jane represented, even if what they believed was false." And this is a really great point, and I think we brought up earlier something else that sort of made the full circle. And I like those sort of episodes where you see that repetition from the beginning and it kind of really stands out at the end like this. But it is really interesting that even though Stitch told everyone the truth and everyone found out that Jane really wasn't this hero they all thought he was, that this guy jumped in front of him anyway, and even the whole town kind of still stood beside him, even though they realized that he hadn't actually given them the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's a really good, and it was, you know, what Caitlin was saying earlier, that there's just a whole underlying theme of faith here, which me and Kristen totally missed, but it's great. Now that we see it, I almost want to watch it again. But this is why we're doing Rewatchable. It's so we pick up on this kind of stuff, I guess. So yeah, thank you so much for that email, Hannah. And if you guys who are listening now want to submit your questions or comments about the discussion we've both had or about the episode we're watching next, which is Out of Gas, which is another really good one that I'm really excited for. And I think the rest of the hosts that have seen the show already are too. And Kristen, you're in for a good one. Get excited. If you want to submit your comments for that, you can do that either by emailing us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. And you can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com, where, you know, there'll be posts up for this episode where you can leave your comments for us there. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week for episode 8, all about Out of Gas. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.